We love to take communion in our preparation for the celebration of Christmas Day. So I invite you to worship this morning. Right at the outset of the service, I want to pray for somebody. We love to gather as a family, and it's not about having a notice later on in the service. We really want to pray for Josh Shobe this morning. Josh was admitted to hospital last night with internal bleeding, and we are really praying for a swift diagnosis. He's stabilized and is in good care. Will you join me now as we pray for him? Father, we come immediately in intercession on behalf of dearest Josh, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name for your superintending, sovereign healing care. Right now we ask, even as we pray for the attendance of your ministries to him. We pray for those caring for him. We pray, Lord, for a speedy diagnosis. We pray, Lord, you'll garrison him, heart and mind, from unfounded fear, Lord. And we lift him up today, and we include him with us in the community of faith and at the place of worship. Pray for settlement for his heart, and we pray for that garrisoning too, for Bill and for Chris, Lord, and for Tammy. Visit their household this Christmas. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, we do a lot of carol singing at this time of year, but it's really important for those of us who believe what we're singing in those carols to be able to take this cup and take this bread, because what we're doing this morning is saying it's one thing to declare the fact that Christ came, it's another thing to declare the reasons why he came. The fact without the meaning is dumb. And therefore, in the simplicity of this act, taking the bread and taking the cup this morning, we let the fact speak afresh to us and speak to us as we come as those who have been satisfied by the purposes for which Jesus came. Paul said, writing to the Galatians, that when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law. That's born just like us, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Therefore, because we this morning gather at this table as sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So we are no longer slaves. We're no longer slaves to that which once bound us. Everything from our own perversities and sins and religious bondages and all the rest of it, nothing no longer keeps us in slavery, but a son and daughter. And since we are sons and daughters, God has made us also heirs, which means we benefit now from the blessings of Christ coming, and there is more to come. How many of you are banking on even more to come? Let me invite you to stand this morning as we begin our time of family communion and worship, and invite you to read with me to declare the Gloria, the preparation for communion, very appropriate, particularly at this season of the year. Reading together, glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory, O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy. Thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And it is to you this morning, Lord, that we come. Prepare our hearts now by your Holy Spirit to receive of these sacraments, as we trust you continue to preserve each of us, soul and body, unto everlasting life. Therefore, inspire us by your Spirit as we lift up our heads to praise you and honor you with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, Austin, Sarah. Come on, I want you down here. Come on, Charlotte. Yeah, you can kneel here. It's comfortable. Hi, Celine. You can kneel down, guys, then the people can see over you. It's nice and comfy. All right. All right, you may be seated. Well, great to see you this morning. Well, I got a Christmas bag with me this morning. Come on, you can come down. We have room for you. Yay, come right in here. Yay. This is no time to be standing outside, is it? All right. Okay. What have I got in here? I got a bag in here. And I wonder what's in it. I'm gonna tell you a story. Now, this is a wonderful story, and I think maybe some of your mums and dads will know this story. I hope they haven't told it to you in the last year, because I know if they told it to you a year ago, you've forgotten. But I know that I preached things to them a week ago that they forget. And that, can you hear them laughing? Because they're hiding all their guilt. You know, once upon a time, there was this young man, and as young men do, one day, he saw this young woman, and he thought, what do you think he thought? Wow. His name was Jack, and the first time that Jack saw Susan, he thought, this is the girl for me. That happened to me once, and it still happens to me every day. All right, now, and to cut a very long story short, they got married. Now, there was one thing about Susan that he particularly loved. He had never seen anybody with such beautiful hair. Now, I'm looking around the congregation this morning, and I can't really, there's lots of beautiful hair out there, guys. Don't get me wrong. I love it all. All the colors and shades. I love where it's been, as well as where it is. But I can't see anybody quite with hair like Susan had. Well, Michelle's getting close, but not quite there, because her hair went right down her back. Well, Jack and Susan got married, and you know, they were a young couple, and they really didn't have much of anything. They lived in one little room, and it was very, very hard to find work at this time. And Christmas came around, and what do you want to do when Christmas comes? What's one of the things you like to do? Get presents. I knew that would be the first thing. Get presents. How many thought give presents? Right. All righty. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Which you buy with your own money, right? Right. Yeah, I know. I know. And, you know, Christmas is coming. And because they loved each other so much, all they wanted to do was give each other the best thing that they could give. Now, I've told you that Susan had really, really lovely hair. And Jack was thinking, what could I buy for Susan? What do you think he thought of buying for Susan? A scrunchie. All right. All right. Maybe that would be a novel way for tying a ponytail. Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, a scrunchie, that's not bad. How many of you know that's not bad? It's not bad. Anything, what else, anything else? Sarah, what do you think? For her hair, what do you think he might have got for her? Brill cream? No? What is, I shouldn't really ask out loud what Dad puts on his hair, should I? No, we won't go there. All righty. Or what Mum puts on it. What else? Any other ideas, Sam?
A hair dryer?
Well, you know, that would have been a great idea, but you know, they didn't, when this happened, hair dryers hadn't even been invented. They weren't, didn't even have hair dryers. But he had an idea. He had an idea. And he decided that he would like to buy her a really beautiful clasp for her hair. But there was only one problem. What do you think the problem was? You are right, Charlotte. He had no money. So what's he going to do? What's he going to do? Now, meanwhile, Susan was wondering what she was going to buy Jack. And I've got to tell you something about Jack. Jack didn't have a lot that was valuable, but he had one thing that was very, very precious. And it looked a bit like this. Now, do you know what that is? What's that? Do you know what that is? What's that? What does it look like? Anyone know what that is?
A gold watch.
I wish it was, yeah. It's a watch. But it's what's it got? It's got somewhere where a chain goes at the end, doesn't it? Now, you know, I looked this morning. I was going around all the cupboards in our house. I have a wonderful old waistcoat that my granddad used to have and my dad had, and I can't find it. So obviously Brendan is never going to get it unless I find it. Okay, but fortunately for me, one of the first people I bumped into in church this morning had, you know what a waistcoat is? What's a waistcoat? Mr. Amendolia. Come here, Mr. Amendolia. And I'm telling you, Mr. Amendolia has the Levitical garment on this morning. He has Urim and Thummim, veritably, a plaid waistcoat. Now, I'm not, Mr. Amendolia, do you mind taking your jacket off, Mr. Amendolia? All right, now that's a waistcoat, guys, see? You see how lovely that is? In all his sartorial splendor, that is a waistcoat. And one of the things that they used to do in the old days, they had these lovely pocket watches, and they used to keep it inside their waistcoat like that. But it was attached to a chain that used to go around the button so that they could pull it out. And sometimes you might have seen it in the old movies, you know, when they pulled out, like the old station master pulled out his watch like that, and it would come out on a long chain. He'd go like that if he pulled it too far. And that's the waistcoat that the watch goes in. Thank you, Mr. Amendolia. All right. So Jack had a nice waistcoat, and he had one of these. But I wonder if you can guess what Susan thought she would really love to buy Jack. Well, there's the watch. What do you think she wanted to go with it?
Oh, a chain.
A chain. But there was one problem, guys. And the problem was?
She didn't have
it.
No fun.
She had no money. So she's sad, and Jack's sad. And they're not telling each other what they want to do. Then, one day, they say to each other, we're just going to take a little time away from each other and go shopping. And they went shopping. And Christmas Day came around, and it was a bit odd because she'd gone to the hairdresser, and Jack thought that she was getting her hair done for Christmas. How many of you have mums that go get their hair done for Christmas? Only one. You didn't notice. When you get home, say, Mum, your hair is looking beautiful. Because your mum had her hair done for Christmas. And, all right, yeah, every day you say it's wonderful. All right, you're learning, very good. And here's what happened. Here's what happened. And she had a special, she often wore her hair up. And she, you know, like in a bun, the ladies with long hair, lovely, they tie it all up, put a scarf around it, And Jack just assumed that she was keeping her hair nice for Christmas. They came to Christmas Day. And would you believe it that they each had a present for each other? And you are right. Because what Jack bought for Susan was a beautiful, beautiful pin and clasp for her hair. Oh, she was going to look so fantastic with this in her hair. Can you guess what she bought for Jack? She bought a gold chain to go with that lovely watch. Hey, what a great Christmas! Do you think they did good?
No. I know I
haven't. Oh, hold on. You think there's a problem here?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Don't spill the beans.
I don't know.
You know?
I'm guessing.
You're guessing?
Yes.
All righty, well, see if you guess right. You see, the reason that Jack had enough money to buy that very expensive clasp was he sold his watch. And he sold his watch, and with all the money, he was so excited, he went and bought her the hair. What do you think Susan had done? Celine? She had cut her hair. And the reason she was covering her hair was not because she was wearing it all up and nice, ready for Christmas Day. She'd had it all cut right short and sold it in little clumps and bits. Because people, how many of you have been to the mall and see ladies buying sort of fake bits of hair? Now the question all your mothers are dreading. How many of your mummies? No. How many mummies and daddies wear fake pieces of hair? No. And her hair was all cut. And she took her scarf off. And there she had her hair cut so short with this beautiful clasp. And there was Jack with his gold chain and no watch. But I'll tell you something. You may think at first that was terribly sad. And yet, you know, it was very, very wonderful. And, you know, they looked at each other and they hugged each other and they cried at first. But they didn't cry out of sorrow. They cried because they realized that they loved each other so much. They had given each other the very best thing that they could give. The very best thing that they can give. And this Christmas, that is what we all think about. And that is why the best thing that we can give, what's the best thing we have is our life, the best thing that we have that God has given us. There's a little verse in the Bible, I want you to remember this Christmas, and it says, "My son, my daughter, give me your heart." Just give me all of you. You know, who's here who's 6 years old? Who's six? Anyone here who's six? I gave my heart to Jesus when I was six. That was the best Christmas. That was the best thing that I could give. And I want you to remember, Jack and Susan, that we just give the best thing that we can to those we love, and especially to God, when we give him our life for all of our life. And I used to sing a little song when I was six that my mum taught me. And I'm not going to sing it, although I'd like to. But I'm not brave enough this morning. And the word said, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Now remember, Jack. And remember, Susan, and remember, it's all right to give the best that you can give, no matter what. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Can we pray? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for that story of Jack and Susan, that they loved each other so much that they gave the best that they had. And Lord, we ask you to help us this Christmas to give you the best that we have. And we think, Lord, that is our life and our whole future. And we give it all to you this morning with very glad hearts. Bless every one of these precious boys and girls. Bless their families. Come to their households in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Now you've got to listen carefully. All those of you in third grade and below, you go down to meet with Mrs. Fay and your teachers. And if you're in fourth grade and above, you need to go back and sit with your parents right now. Okay? Great to have you, boys and girls. Have a wonderful Christmas. Oh, don't forget, next Sunday, you got to bring me something that you got for Christmas. You remember? Remember we... All right, well, whatever it is, you bring it. I want one thing that you got for Christmas, you bring to show me next Sunday. Okay? All righty. Bo? Where's Bo? Notices? Thanks.
As the children are filing out, we have a new child in our church family. James Joseph Berg, born to Russ and Ellen, Wednesday. And we always include these statistics, but 8 pounds, 7 ounces, 21 inches long. And I did see Russ come in. I think he's downstairs now, but when you get a chance to see him, just bless him this morning. As I ask the ushers to prepare to take the offering, I'd like to call David Tynes. David, did you... leave me, there you are. David's going to talk a little bit about the care company outreach that's been going on over at Eastern Market.
Well, as all of you know, that the last couple weekends we've had the opportunity, the great opportunity to wrap gifts over at Eastern Market for those who shop over there. And most of those folks live just around here and some come from other parts. And it has been, we've had a fantastic response. The vendors have really enjoyed us being there. Yesterday, I had asked the Lord specifically to be able to talk to the rug guy who's right behind me about the Lord, and he actually turned to me and asked us why we were doing it for free. So the Lord afforded the opportunity to talk with him about Jesus, and of course we just had a good dialogue about, he's from Afghanistan, so we had a good dialogue about that and about Islam and Jesus. So we've had wonderful opportunities just to talk with people who are standing there, about why we're doing it. They always seem to come up with a question. And we're doing it one more time tomorrow from 10 to 2. I just need probably 2 to 3 more volunteers for tomorrow, the 24th. They're going to be open till 4. And so if anyone has the time and the willingness, we'd love to have you.
I'd like the ushers to come down and take the offering now. And I'm going to pray for that offering. Lord, this morning as we celebrate your birth, I'm reminded that we know so much more now, looking back, than those knew when they saw you for the first time as a little baby. And Lord, we know what an amazing thing it was that you came to this earth and what you accomplished. And Lord, this morning we are aware that it didn't have to be that way, but you were obedient and you were faithful. And we thank you for that, Lord. We honor you for that. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to be obedient and faithful to God's purposes in our lives. We ask that your Holy Spirit would strengthen us, Lord, and call us to that which you have called us to. And Lord, we ask that you bless this offering. We ask that you prepare us as a church for the works that you are going to do in this city. And we ask that you prepare your church worldwide for that which is yet unaccomplished in the mission of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And Stuart, you have some other testimonies you want to...
One of the great things about this time of year, as you all know, is you get to know all sorts of people in your street and neighbors that you kind of pass like ships in the night. And Celie shared a few weeks ago about Operation Lighthouse and just being intentional in having your home as a place of gathering on your block. And where's Elizabeth? Elizabeth, come and tell how How good it turned out. Elizabeth and Brent did one of these.
Well, we just moved onto our new street last summer, so we decided to invite our whole block over for Christmas. And we just asked the Lord to just bring whoever needed to come. And almost 40 people came, so it was tons of people showed up. And of course, I ran out of food and I ran out of cups and everything else. But the thing that will make everyone remember the party was that simultaneously with the first guests, our refrigerator delivery company showed up on the wrong day. And so if you just think about what your kitchen looks like when you're throwing a party, and then imagine having to empty out the entire refrigerator and freezer and everything off the front of the refrigerator, and where are you going to put it when you have total strangers in your house? It was an interesting situation. And the first few people who came saw the refrigerator sitting in the living room. And by the end, the refrigerator people had thankfully gone, and a few people didn't know what happened, but most of them did, and I think the Lord's doing something.
Well, I think there's a pattern emerging. Any of you have good times with your neighbors and friends and invite your block in? It's absolutely great. Celia and I did this for our block. As you know, those of us, we live on Penn Avenue, and we're the only domicile on our block, so it's all offices, and mainly lawyers' offices. And as most of you know, given the amount of money lawyers make per minute on the phone, you don't see them out in the street much. So we don't get to see our neighbors much. God bless all the lawyers. I love you. And anyway, so we did the same thing. And there must be a pattern emerging here, Elizabeth, because we had all the state insurance people come, and all the lawyers' firms, the three lawyers' firms, all turned up with their legal assistants. One of them was very funny, came in. Classic, first question. So you're in the saving souls business. You know, start a good relationship. I said, yes, would you like to sponsor a few? And they kind of went, well. So that really broke the ice. We had a fun time. And it was really wonderful. But maybe it was a time. In the middle of all this, our oven repairman showed up just like you. So we have this guy coming in, fixing our oven in the middle of, you know, a buffet lunch going on. And then, I don't know what, he sets something off. Smoke is pouring everywhere. And all the fire alarms go off. And the fire trucks arrive. So it's great. We just had a memorable party. And we got all these funny cards back from all the lawyers asking us if, you know, we knew any firemen and all this kind of stuff. But they remembered. But it's a great thing to do. And I want to really encourage you, you know, get to know your block. Be as Christ to your neighbors. And New Year's is another great opportunity to have folk in. It's important to know people around us by name and to be available. And you might not think there's much you can give. I was talking to these lawyers saying, is there anything I can do for you? And then, of course, I had this great idea after the fire trucks left. I said, why don't you use our number as an emergency number if you need it? And, of course, they realized it worked really well. You know, the fire trucks arrived very quickly. So we're getting to be their agents in case there's an emergency. So really take the opportunity to bless your neighborhoods at this season of the year. I'd like you to take your Bibles. I hope you brought them to church this morning. And we're just gathering here, just a family time. And I'd like you to be engaged. And I'd like you to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. One of the things, members of the church know this, one of the things I encourage you all to do every Christmas is really set intentional time aside to meditate on some aspect or some part of the birth narratives. It is one of the most extraordinary texts in the gospel. Absolutely brilliant. You could preach on it all year long. There's enough in there of the greatness of God and the goodness of Jesus. Now, if you look at that chapter, Luke chapter 2, and I think it's verse 36, it should be a section about Anna. Is that right? 36 to 38. Well, we're just going to spend a few minutes. We're going to meditate on this together and get some feedback. I want you to read that, and we're just at a place of peace and quiet, in case you haven't had time to do anything. We're just going to have a little time of meditation here, and looking at this passage, and then a little feedback. as to what you get out of it. So read Acts 2, 36 to 38 about Anna. Think about it, ponder it, meditate on it. Give you a few minutes to do that. And then we'll do some feedback of some things you've discovered in that passage and some applications, particularly for our own personal lives. Off you go. Love to be like Anna. And I know what she means by that, because, you know, she loves to pray, but it's that widow bit that really, you know, it's like I gotta die for that to be fulfilled, you know. So it hasn't really drawn me into the passage as much. And she is this lovely figure who suddenly appears. Okay, take a moment or two, just in twos or threes. Just talk about the passage. Talk about anything that struck you, any application of it, anything you think that's relevant or pertinent or something that really is encouraging to you, or something that you think is relevant to this time of year in your own life. Off you go. Just in twos or threes, and then I'm going to do some public feedback. Off you go. Don't all talk at once. What on earth is there in this passage? I think that's fine. Okay, let's have some feedback. Just raise your hand, let me see who you are. Stand up, speak like you're preaching to a lot of people so your voice carries. Okay, any response to anything? Okay, Karina. You need to stand, Karina, and preach it. Tremendous gift of evangelism here. Something about this woman that instinctively spoke out what had been revealed to her. This was not some private revelation, was it? How many of you know there's too much private revelation in the body of Christ? Yeah? Okay, anything else about her? Sarah?
Well,
nice and loudly. Do you all hear that? Fantastic. Talking about the place of faithfulness, circumstances of her life that many would have automatically seen as a limitation. Widowhood in those days was a serious limitation. And yet it was not a place of confinement for her. It's interesting that Anna emerges in the New Testament as, if you were looking for an image of biblical contentment, it's right there. Maybe that's an encouragement for someone this morning. You know, it's a little, maybe it's a holy adage that the place of your confinement is still the place of God's contentment for you as you perceive his purposes in those circumstances of your life. There is a timeliness to it and closeted away in the temple. And there's a lot of argument about, you know, it says 84 years. I mean, she probably got married about 14. Married 7 years, probably widowed by 21, 22. I mean, they argue as to whether she was actually 84 or had actually been a widow 84 years. I mean, she'd been a widow 84 years, that'd make her over 100. Well, that's, hey, who cares? She was just very old and extremely holy. It's a gorgeous picture that emerges. Anything? Thank you, Sarah and Deborah. Good to see you. Anything else? Anything else? Marianne? Yeah, lovely. What a great application. This whole image of the present tense experience of the presence of God. No in and out of the holy place anymore for us, because Jesus came and gave his spirit. Something else. Michael. Persevering and steadfast. How many of you know that is not a modern virtue? It's not a modern virtue, and yet it's interesting, isn't it? The New Testament says that perseverance and endurance are precisely the characteristics of those who live at the end of the age. Wonderful. Yeah, Brent?
We know exactly who she was. His father,
Yes. Amazing. Amazing. It kind of reminds you of what we were talking about in Exodus a few weeks ago about Shifra and Pua, doesn't it? These absolute non-entities to the world. I mean, she's been closeted away, hasn't missed a service for 84 years. Who knows? She's been passed in the temple as that funny old lady. The funny old lady. And yet God has a whole lineage. And what's particularly interesting about that is Asher, it says she was of the tribe of Asher. Very specifically, Asher was one of the lost tribes. It's quite striking that there is a specific genealogy of a tribe and people that weren't into genealogies for an awful lot of years. And arguably was one of the least tribes. And it's this theme that emerges again in the narrative. Bethlehem of Ephratah, you are the smallest among the clans. Out of you, for me, will come something. Anna, old, separated, you know, out for any number of reasons, and God knows her complete lineage. Isn't that encouraging to us? How many times are our prayers littered with the accusation of the Father that he neither knows our circumstances, knows who we are, or knows our address? Maybe someone needs to hear that this morning. He has your address. He knows more than your social security number. And he also loves what he sees in a heart that goes to pursue him. Very important, those details. Very, very important. Something else. Costas. Right. Right. Yeah, wouldn't we just? That's right. And yet Scripture is silent on what she actually said. But it was a cogent word. I mean, this is something she had brewed on for a long, long time. It was interesting you say that. I've been meditating in those passages myself this week. I went back to meditate on the Deuteronomy blessing on the tribe of Asher. And the Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy 33 are the blessings that are spoken over the tribe of Asher. It's very interesting that the specific blessing over the Asher tribe was favor amongst your brothers. Favor. If there's one word that is one of the key words of the birth narratives, it's the announcement of the favor of the Lord. And she became the vehicle for that favor. But what's fascinating is when Jacob's giving his blessings, he's, you know, bless you, Judah, my son. You know, bless you, Reuben, my son. Bless you, Levi, my son. Of course, the boys are all hanging back. Some got good blessings and some got bum ones, you know, and you're kind of, you know, wanting to know whether you should leave the room or not before your name came up. And, you know, he's going on and on, and he gets to Dan and he gives Dan, and there's only a couple left, and one of them is Asher. And it's kind of now down amongst the end of the line here. And Asher was the product of a relationship with one of his one of his concubines, as it were, and so he wasn't in the kind of the mainstream Asher, and it's really, I've never really noticed it before, but suddenly at the end of Dan, before you get into that last bit, including Asher, Jacob cries out. There's this cry that has nothing to do with the rest of the text. He says, "Oh, for the deliverance and the salvation of the Lord." It's extraordinary. It's this longing for a deliverance for the heart and the people, which precisely becomes the sentence in the mouth of Simeon. And, you know, I've got to believe was something that started to get worked out, this longing in the tribe of Asher. Do you know there was no hero, no significant hero of the nation or judge or leader that was ever public from the tribe of Asher? It's famous for not being famous until this extraordinary moment. Now, when would you like to go public? Wouldn't this be the time you'd love the tribe of Asher to go public? And here she comes from the tribe of Asher. Wow. The last, the lost, the least, which has always been the gospel of Jesus. absolutely presented in this gorgeous woman. Anything else? Someone else? Someone down here had the Alan.
She recognized that the redemption was in a baby.
You hear that? She recognized and perceived that it was in that child. That crucial issue of the gospel. To see Jesus is to see the salvation of God. It is the particularity. It's what people have called the scandal of particularity that is in Jesus Christ. She perceived it and understood it. Quite extraordinary, of course. You know that there's been 400 years of silence, and just like we've been seeing in Exodus after 400 years of slavery, it's all these women that come onto the stage. We have exactly the same in the New Testament. After 400 years of silence, we have the Holy Spirit falling upon Mary. It says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then this woman is moved. She's like one of these, it's like she's wind blown, because the Bible says at that exact time, at that exact moment that this was happening, who should appear? Just like blown in by the Spirit. But Anna. And the nation of Israel only acknowledged seven prophetesses they acknowledged. And yet after 400 years of silence, there is a word of prophecy in the mouth of this woman. A prophetic word. Absolutely brilliant. Anything else? Anything else? Someone who hasn't... Nancy. Could you stand, Nancy, and speak out so they can hear? Because
I just love in the Christmas story how the Lord has woven in older people, Zacharias and Elizabeth, and Simeon and Anna, and she will always be identified with the redemption of Jerusalem, that name for Jesus, but it says that she was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem, and by virtue of feeding on the Lord as husband and father, her spirit was in the opposite place of most of the elderly. She was
exactly. Yeah.
And it's just a word to us to stay feeding.
Amen. We're between Advents, aren't we? It was that incredible forward thrust of the Spirit looking forward to that which was to come at a time when everyone thinks, in fact, life is diminishing. This is a great application. Hey, we got our own share of post-50s here. I was talking to someone this week that was in shock at the AARP thing arriving through the post. When the AARP envelope arrives through the post, don't open it. Just put it, it can't help you, really. Just put it straight in the bin. In fact, last Saturday, the youth had an ice skate down at if you've never been, the Sculpture Gardens, downtown DC, the open air ice rink is absolutely gorgeous. It's gorgeous at night. It's great. It's a great place for a date. It's just, don't get me carried away here, but it's a really nice place. I thought so until I looked at the board, and if you're 50 and over, you get the cheapest thing going. At 50 now. You get a cheap deal. But I don't know if those of you who were with us at the new wine gathering over at Living Word, Ken was praying for a wonderful, wonderful man who's become a close friend of mine, George Brown, who's way on in years now, has been a very, very significant figure in DC politics, probably one of the most honored and respected of all African-American lawyers in this city, much sought after for his counsel. God has done a tremendous work in his life in his latter years, and I was so tickled because and he's been really at a crossroads in his life about what to do. And, wind down or whatever. And as Ken was praying over him, he said, this is not a time of retirement for you, sir. He said, it's a time of refirement. I like that. And Anna's one of these people who was refired. It was refirement for Anna, not retirement. Tremendous blessing, the promises of Scripture. Do you know that more people are going into full-time missions post 50 and 65 than at any other season of their life? It's a tremendous vision of our life in the Lord, this kind of gathering of fruitfulness. And it's a wonderful thing to observe from her that though she had suffered, I mean, this woman had been a widow for a long time, that there is not a hint of bitterness here, is there? It's total engagement, soft-hearted engagement with the purposes of God. And though aging, more and more fruitful, like that tree by the rivers of water, more and more fruitful and more hopeful as age goes on. Absolutely fantastic. I want to be a Rudy Fruity person like Anna. I want there to be an increase of hope in my life, an increase of effectiveness, and more, an increase of a revelation of Jesus for my life. Anything else? One more, one more. Sammy.
Well, I went to Genesis.
Stand up, Sammy.
You got
I got yours? I didn't mean to get yours.
But it's along the same lines. It's kind of how God saw her from way back. He says, no consequence.
Right. Right. That's right. The blessing of Asher was that they would serve the king, a rich fair. And here she is, serving the king of King Steve. Sorry. That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Offering to the King of Kings. It's a lovely image of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we have this amazing woman. And this thing someone said right at the beginning, in speaking to God, there was a relationship between her speaking to God and speaking to others. There is an indivisible relationship between our worship and our witness, absolutely indivisible. And it needs to be wholly recovered, not just by the corporate church, but by everybody who loves Jesus. And like Anna has seen in this one, the salvation of the living God. And I urge you, get time with these birth narratives. Get time with the text. Meditate on them. And watch how these characters are just absolutely caught up in the purposes of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make sense without the work of the Holy Spirit, who comes on. Mary, as I've said, came on old dumb Zechariah. There's hope for some of us. You know, he's filled and he prophesies. It rests on Simeon. There is this gorgeous feel of what's going on. So it doesn't matter who you are today. It doesn't matter who you are this Christmas. It doesn't matter how confined your circumstances. It doesn't matter the extent of suffering. And what's very, very interesting for Anna is that she is this amazing example of holding on with faith to the promises of God. And I love that description that says at that exact moment. And we are called to trust God for his moments. My nature is to make it happen. And we really need it to come from his hand as opposed to be taken by ours, don't we? So she's a lovely, lovely picture of intercession. And I really do pray that the Lord answers Celia's prayer, that she will really enjoy being like Anna, with this exception. That I get to grow old with her and experience it too. Now that was great meditation, guys. You see, now all you need to do is take all that back and you marinate, and then you come back next Sunday, and I'll ask one or two of you to just present it in like 3 minutes, you know, the bullet points, boom, 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 what the text says, what it means, what the context is. Look, you good Bible study, you went to Genesis, you went to Deuteronomy, you're looking around, you're referring to the other narratives, and also the application, bombarding the text with questions. Good Bible study, you just preached a good message. Let's pray. I'm going to ask two or three of you, just where you stand, to stand up and just lead us in prayer and just apply some of those things. Ask the Lord to apply what's been shared just now to our own lives this Christmas. Let's apply this meditation. So if you would lead us in prayer briefly, just stand and pray for us. Yes.
My soul waits for the Lord. More than watchmen wait for the morning. I say more than watchmen. put your hope in the Lord.
Yes.
For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption.
Yes.
He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins.
Amen. 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 Yes.
Although we do not stay in the temple, in the sanctuary, day and night, fast and pray, show us how in our lives that we can be in contact with you.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Our every act be an act of worship. Our every word can be a word of worship.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let it be, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen. And Lord, we do thank you together for every incredible record of Scripture, Lord. We thank you for this tiny little cameo of Anna that speaks so much of your greatness and the consistency of your heart and your commitment to fulfill your covenant plan of salvation in Jesus. And we ask, Lord, like her, for a revelation of Jesus and of the power of your redemption. And Lord, even as has been expressed here this morning, that longing of our heart, Lord, we confess how easily there is such dullness of heart, Lord. I pray that there won't be, we won't have to go back too far in our lives to remember a time of engaging passion in our hearts with the affections of the living God. Lord, reignite our hearts. For those, Lord, that are closer to retirement than anything else, Lord, give a fresh vision for the future. of our lives and the productivity and fruitfulness for your kingdom purposes. Deliver us, Lord, from secular retirement models and incessant vacation. And I pray, Lord, that the years that are left to us, that we yield to your hand, you will make more fruitful than anything we've experienced before. And let the work of your Holy Spirit upon us that reveals Jesus not only inspire our worship, but provoke our witness to the redemption that draws nigh. Make us homesick, Lord, for that which is yet to come, as this day we also anticipate the coming advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. May every one of us be ready, Lord, and may we be right with you and right with everybody else we're related to. Thank you. Today is a day of salvation that we need not be taken by surprise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you in a moment to come row by row and to come to the altar and receive the administration of the sacraments this morning. And as we come to do so, let me just read to you some scriptures that give meaning to the fact of Jesus' coming and that have everything to do with this cup and with the bread. You know, Jesus, one thing Jesus was very clear about, he pronounced in John 8:14, he said, "I know where I came from and I know where I am going." As for Jesus, so for us, those are two things we need to know about our life, discerning about where we came from and where we are going. And Jesus said later in John's gospel, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So if you were to ask Jesus why he came, and of course, you don't hear these verses either spoken much or read much in Christmas services, but we do need to read them at this Christmas Eve communion. John 3:17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world." So why did Jesus come? But to save the world through him. Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, "I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but I have come to fulfill every prophecy, every proposition, every precept of the law. That is why I have come to you." Jesus said, Matthew 20:28, "The Son of Man did not come to be ministered to." Then why did you come, Lord, but to minister and give my life a ransom? Not to primarily demand anything of us, but first to give. Matthew 9:13, Jesus said, "I have not come to call the righteous." Then why did he come? He came to call sinners. This is my Christmas tie. That's why I'm wearing my Christmas communion tie. Kids have been asking me, you know, what's the black sheep? Of course, I'm the black sheep, I guess. But it reminds me at Christmas that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Matthew 10:34, why did Jesus come? A verse that needs to be read amidst all the snowball fluff. "I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword." Part of the truth of the gospel in the coming of Jesus is that his truth and his call upon our life, it does bring a unity in relating us to God, but it brings a division in that it divides us from that which is not the Lord's will for our life. And so there is a sword that is applied to our lives. 1 John 3:8, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." And that is what we celebrate. That is what in his coming we celebrate in the taking of this cup and this bread. And the purpose of these statements is to convince us that he who came as a babe was born to die. "For this reason," says Jesus in John 18, "I came to testify to the truth. For this reason, on the eve of the cross, I came for this hour." For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. And the fundamental call of the Christmas message remains the same: to respond first to Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Savior, whose reward is with him. And so, in the context of this communion, we remember his first coming, but we remind ourselves of that which is to come. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Get some time this Christmas season, before the new year. Closet yourself in a way that Anna closeted herself, in seeking the Lord and with prayer. Let your heart take inventory of why he came for you and recover the purposes of his coming through you for the year that we trust the Lord to give us by his grace. I invite you just to be suckered in your spirit as we take this moment of peace. The worship team is going to come and lead us in worship. As you come, come when you're ready to receive communion. Come as a family, kids, come with your parents. Go back to your seat. If you want to just commune and pray quietly, if you want to join with the worship team and just sing your praise to the Lord, amidst all this hustle and bustle and racing around, let us commune with Jesus. Whoever is thirsty, come. Whoever needs to eat, come. He who comes to me, said Jesus, I will in no wise turn away. Thank you, worship team. I invite the servers to come forward as we serve you communion. In these days, we thank you, Lord, that we do not simply come to a manger. We come to the foot of a cross without shame, and we acknowledge that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you bore in your own body the judgment of all sin. You bore its penalty that we may go free. We thank you that you came to satisfy the justice of a holy God. And Father, as we come this morning, we come, as it were, as Mary came to a manger, we come as Mary came to the foot of the cross, but we also come as those like Mary who came to an upper room and knew something of the Christ risen and glorified. And as we bow our knee at this altar, Lord, we cast ourselves upon you afresh. We acknowledge there's no one else to whom we can turn. We confess our sins to you because you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We come as Anna would have come, Lord, maybe bloodied by experience, but Lord, broken, that you might remake us. And we thank you, Lord, that it is still the power of your Holy Spirit, as it was in Anna's life, to take away the dross and the roots of our suffering and to make us fruitful for you. And we ask, as this bread touches our lips and as this wine enters us this morning, for a fresh infusion of the Holy Spirit, that you will come upon us afresh, as you came upon Mary and Elizabeth, Simeon and Anna and Zechariah and Joseph, and that the result in us this Christmas will, as for them, be more of Jesus, who we desperately need, but honor as the Lord of all. We are thirsty, Lord, and we are hungry, and therefore we come disclose yourself to us in the simplicity of this act. May your gift to us be your life. May our gift to you be all that we are this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Soul and body unto everlasting life. May you serve him in this life and in the life to come. Amen. Come and receive.